Those lights click. Ah, that's us live now. So I'll just do that bit again. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is John Johnson on Radio Edutalk. It is the 15th of February, 8:01 in the evening in the year of 2017. This is the first time I've been broadcasting this year, really, which is quite late. And I'm delighted to be talking to sort of a long time contact and source of amazing knowledge about ICT, Malcolm Wilson from Falkirk. Good evening, Malcolm.
Good evening, John, and good welcome and evening to all those folk that are listening out there in EduTalk land.
I said it in the previous introduction, because this of course is a second one due to slight technical failures or failure on my part to click the right button. I'm kind of surprised, because I've known you, I guess, online, Malcolm, for a reasonably long time, that we've not asked you on before, but it's great to have you here, because especially around various things, digital education, you've been making a big impact recently. Could you maybe just give us a wee bit about your background, where you came from and what you do?
Sure. I was a teacher, a primary teacher, for about 20 years, having trained first of all at Callander Park College in Falkirk, no longer, and then as it was coming to the end of its life, it was closed, and I ended up finishing my training at Murray House in Edinburgh, which was fascinating, changing from one to the other, and my degree comes from Stirling University, my first degree, and then went into teaching, was a primary teacher in a couple of schools for nearly 20 years, and then took on this role. And I have been extremely lucky throughout all of that time that digital technology has been a part of that job from very early days. When I first started teaching, in fact, in the 1980s, the very early 1980s, in fact, then as digital technology started to come on board, the school I happened to be in was one of the schools that was targeted for a pilot project way back in these days, in order to get computers into schools for the very first time. So I've seen them all, and all the different kinds, and all the different staff and colleagues that I've worked alongside, all learning and finding our way and working out how on earth are these things going to be used in education. So it's fascinating for the length of time that I've been in education to have seen the cycle go round and round as to what we're going to do with them and how they're going to be used to best support learning in the classroom. So I've been still a teacher. You never stop being a teacher. Still teaching kids. Now I concentrate, when I'm teaching children in the classroom, it's digital leaders now in schools, which is quite a big thing. Certainly in Falkirk, the majority of our schools now have people digital leaders, which is something that's sustainable and has been having a quite an impressive impact in the schools, or so the schools tell me, in the use of digital technology in their schools.
Right. And your current role is ICT Development Officer, is that?
Yes, I'm ICT Curriculum Development Officer, and I keep putting that curriculum in there just to emphasise the fact that it's not about the technical boxes and the fixing stuff and things, although people keep forgetting that, but it isn't anything to do with fixing things, but we still fix things every now and then for people when things just need to be plugged in or switched off and started up again.
You know, half the job there, half the technical job in those three short words. So you maybe tell us a wee bit about your current role and how things work in Falkirk as to, you know, developing schools and staff with ICT, Malcolm.
Yes, so firstly, I have a fantastic set of colleagues around about me, both at the centre. Falkirk Council has 50 primary schools, 8 secondary schools, special schools, and within that, a couple of thousand staff, 23,000 kids, huge numbers of things going on there, and I couldn't do my job if it wasn't for all of these people out there in the schools and at the centre, all being extremely supportive of each other and of me. And my role, as I see it, is that I'm in the background trying to make things happen, trying to support staff, trying to see what's coming next, trying to have things in place that I, if I was still in the classroom, would find useful to then have these shared with my colleagues in the schools, so that they don't have to go out and search for the things that I've already spent the time searching for things for them, and showing them how to use tools. So whether it's finding resources, putting resources together for the blog, and if people haven't already discovered my blog, then Google it. Other search engines are available. Just Falkirk ICT blog, and it'll pop up. And there's a whole host of stuff on there, but it's because people have generally, over my years of working in the role that I am in now, people ask for something to help with whatever thing they're working on in the classroom. So rather than repeating the same emails or going out and supporting or helping or running a course, then I put together resources that often have collated resources from lots of people, video tutorials and examples of how people are using things, and then a few words of my own that try and glue it all together. So that's one of the things that I do is that blog. And a lot of the things that I do are delivering training in schools, either for specific tools or showing how different tools can be used to support, whether it's literacy, numeracy, or any other curricular area, or running courses at the centre, again, for specific digital tools, whether it's online tools, whether it's software, whether it's particular hardware, iPads or PCs or whatever. So a whole range of things. And then trying to encourage folk to use these, pulling that people that I can find that are using tools confidently, although people never think they're being very confident with, but if they're willing to put themselves forward, then I will try and bring these folk together and share these in courses where they show what they're using, how they're using it, and I'll envelope around about that some sort of training that can build on other folk to get to the level that they are at and build their confidence. I like it, incidentally, and just you introduced me and said that it's a long time that you've known me, and I've learned a lot from you, incidentally, John, and a lot of the colleagues like you around the country who were leading the way in so many different digital technologies. I was just going to say that I see my role very much being in the background, and I hear time and again people saying that they've learned something from themselves and that they've discovered something and they're doing it in the classroom without any support from anybody. And other people, their colleagues, will often tell me, but they learned that from your blog, or they found that from a course that they were on. And I certainly don't mind that at all, because it makes people feel empowered that they have discovered it for themselves. It might have been my blog. It might have been something that I said or did. But they're the ones that are actually in the classroom using it, being brave enough to try something, take a risk, and it works, and it takes them forward and takes their colleagues forward.
I was just going to mention, to sort of reinforce your blog, Malcolm, because that's certainly, although on Twitter and your blog, I know you from your blog very well. And I think, you know, we've said your role is supporting ICT in Falkirk, but I suspect you're actually supporting people around the world who are working in the classroom, because your blog is visited by an incredible number of people, and it seems to have respects from around the world. And I think what's useful for classroom practitioners is this collation piece that you do, that, you know, a lot of people regard a blog as something you know, casual and chatty, but a lot of your posts go into a whole series of details that will take something and really scope it out and give great information. So I think that's why it's a particularly useful resource for professional development.
I mean, I try and aim to be something that I would find useful in the classroom myself, that if I was, because it is what I did over the years as a classroom teacher, is that if I was doing a new topic, whatever that topic happened to be, whether it was a maths thing, whether it was a historical thing, geography, whatever it was, I would spend a lot of time searching out materials for that particular thing. So then not to have to recreate it the next time I wanted to go and do something similar. And I find exactly the same thing with digital technologies, is that I know how long it takes to go and find something to show me exactly how that tool is going to work in my class. There's lots and lots and lots of people out there making fantastic videos. I don't want to reinvent the wheel. If someone has done a fantastic piece of work, I'll maybe have to trawl through more than a dozen videos that are like it and to find the one that I think best matches how I think my colleagues will be able to use that in their classroom, because clearly there are a lot of tools that they're not for the particular level, they're not aimed at a primary classroom, for instance, sometimes, or they're using a slightly different tool. So it's finding the right combination of age range, the tool, the scenarios that work in our settings in the schools that are in Falkirk or elsewhere in Scotland, to try and make these work the way that I would find them most useful. If I was talking to a teacher face-to-face and showing them, then it's the things that I would want them to have so that they've got the time that I've invested in it, they don't have to try and do to find the things that will work.
Yeah, and I think it's really, I mean, a lot of courses you go to, people will give you a set of notes, which in my case usually end up in a slip in my backpack and don't get much further than that. And then when I look for them, they're gone, and say your blog is always there.
I call it my memory.
Yeah.
That I can search for it, because often people will ask, I mean, you mentioned Twitter. I use Twitter a lot. And often it is a case of someone's asked a question, I know there's a blog post for it, I simply go to my blog, find the right blog post and share that blog post. It used to be the case that I would send that as an email. Someone would ask me a question by email, because often that was their way of communicating with me, or over the phone, and I would send them a list of things by an email. Mm-hmm. Now, if I do send emails still to my colleagues, then it's with a link to the blog that details all the thing. And if there's a specific thing that's necessary to answer, a very specific thing in relation to a step that's missing maybe in the blog that relates to their need, then I add that into the emails too. But it's so much easier to have a blog post with everything detailed out all in one place that I can find, that I can then share with them. If people find it by themselves, all well and good, but I'm still very happy to try and help folk when they're looking for the thing they don't know it's there, because sometimes you don't know what you don't know. As one of my former bosses used to tell me, that people don't know that there is a tool, or there could be a tool to do something. So that my blog, if I've put it there, it's because I found something that I think can actually help in the classroom for a whole range of things. Mm. And one of the other things, incidentally, that over the years that I've been involved in Falkirk, is that from a very early stage, I was determined that we didn't buy in software as an authority, for instance, that was very specific to a curricular area. That everything, as far as we could, was open-ended and could be used across the board, so that we got the maximum value out of anything that was purchased, but managed to cover all the areas, so that there was something that would be, maybe would meet a particular need in one particular area, but actually could be used across a whole range of curricular areas. And therefore, the software has lasted on our PCs, because all our schools have PCs, they're all networked, and they all have, in our primary schools, largely the same quite wide range of open-ended pieces of software that can be used for so many different ways.
And we'll maybe get back to software in a wee minute, but while we mention Twitter, if you're listening live, you can always tweet a question to Malcolm. If you just use the hashtag edutalk, we'll try and pick it up and pass it on to Malcolm. And Malcolm, you're at, I'm not going to manage this name, Claganach.
That's the one.
Is that how you pronounce it? Claganach, which is Claganach. And that's where you're tweeting from. And what's the root of that name, Malcolm?
Well, this is one of my many other lives and many other hats that I have. It's a corrupted version of Gaelic. That's the first thing. Mm. My other life and many other lives that I have is handbells. Handbells have taken me around the world and have conducted in wonderful places, a whole range of handbell musicians around the world, having fantastic times and working with them. But the nearest word for handbell in Gaelic is what is there, the clagan bit, but the ach bit at the end is for the house, so that's the name of my house.
Ah,
so easily found.
House of the handbells.
House of the little bells, literally, but house of handbells, really.
Right. Is that not educational, other than educational for us, but it's nice to get a wee bit of backstory after looking at that name for so long.
It's quite unique. I made the word up, but it's corrupted from Gaelic.
Yeah, brilliant. And I'm saying one of the things you're talking about is this swing from email to Twitter, for instance, from support. So do you find that locally from Falkirk schools that queries for help will come on Twitter as opposed to an email? Or?
Oh, they come from all different ways, and it's still even phone calls or emails, but certainly Twitter now as well, and Yammer now inside Office 365 as part of Glow. So there are lots of different ways, and Facebook, not forgetting that one, and LinkedIn. So yes, messages are coming from lots of different places, And the blog just happens to be the place where I have the store of the information that I'm likely to share. And actually, just on Twitter, I should mention that it was a few years ago that Falkirk School started to use Twitter. A few head teachers started to use it, and they encouraged some of their colleagues, and in turn, some other colleagues were then thinking, what is this, and asked me. And so I then supported a number of other head teachers until, within the space of just a couple of years, all our schools now use Twitter. And not only does every school have a main Twitter account, but most of our schools also have individual classes with a Twitter account. And that became their microblog, their class blog. And the huge advantage of that is that with a website in the past that was very static or required somebody to spend a lot of time updating the individual pages, now we have embedded tweets on class websites, with the class teacher able to tweet information quite readily and rapidly from the classroom, saying, here's what we've been learning today. And the follow-up to that, the feedback from parents has been extremely positive. Head teachers that speak to me, classroom teachers that speak to me about this, all have very positive words to say about the use of Twitter, because parents, when the child is picked up or the parent comes home and the child's at home and they're having that conversation, what did you do at school today? Rather than the, which may have been a thing in the past that I might have said myself as a child, I would certainly know from parents that I used to teach that that's exactly what they said, and trying to drag out of their child what they'd actually been doing. Now Twitter gives that prompt, and if it's nothing else, it's a prompt to the conversation of the learning that's just gone on, so that the conversation that they have at home is then much more in-depth, and the parent can then support the child in their learning and supporting the school in doing the thing immediately that's just been taught that day. And how much better is that than actually building on what's been happening in the school? And if teachers also have to have shown something, whether it's the new way of doing a particular thing in maths or whether it's a different way to doing it than perhaps the parents themselves would have done, then they could have shared something, a wee video clip on Twitter. It's just enough to then make it so much clearer. Because I do remember, as a teacher many years ago, when I first started teaching, that parents often would have been shown a different way of doing long division or subtraction or whatever it happened to be. And, of course, confused completely their children when they were trying their best to help. But, of course, we hadn't spent, as teachers, the time with the parents showing them this is the new way, this is the way that makes it easier to understand. It was quite the opposite, because they were getting doubly confused by parents trying to show them as best they could, but showing them a completely different way. Whereas now we have the power of Twitter in many of our classrooms in Falkirk, where that's sharing out what's happening, here's what we're doing, parents have the conversation and can actually support their child.
Yeah, and you mentioned your blog, and when I, until recently, was working a similar sort of role in North Lanarkshire, if schools asked me about how do I set a Twitter account up and what do, I sent them the email to your blog. I sent them a link to your various posts on Twitter, because it would get them up and get them running. And I'm seeing just out in the Twitter sphere at the moment, Mrs. C at Millie Mermaid, which is another interesting name. She says your blog is great and response on Twitter is amazing. Signposted me to a solution on Sun. Now, I don't know if that's on the Sun, as in the celestial body, or you are a secret agent of News International.
Not letting on.
I'm
glad that she said responded. That was very nice that anyone mentions it. And it's always nice. I mean, it's nice when somebody mentions anything. And I do get occasional people just saying on Twitter or wherever how much use they've found in something. And that's nice to get that feedback. I don't require it, but everybody likes a little pat on the head every now and then. No. It's very nice. Because it counters all the times they've been criticised for not doing something or not having something available. So it makes you feel better.
I think that partly the hookiness of Twitter for individuals, at least, is the fact that you get these sort of micro pats on the back, or I don't know if there's probably a name for it, you know, but there's that sort of psychological thing going on. I'm wondering, I mean, you're highlighting the use of Twitter as a broadcast tool, I guess, by schools. And kind of pointing out the goodness in that. And I'm quite interested in that. A few weeks ago, I took a dump of 900 tweets made by North Lanarkshire schools and just sort of analysed them for what they were doing. and that were very much on the broadcast mode. They weren't replying to people, for instance. It was all putting out news, putting out pictures.
And there clearly is a role for that.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I think you very clearly kind of articulated that way that it goes into the house and is a way of taking the learning home, and it's doing, you know, a really powerful job, obviously, at that. And
I think there is always a danger, and there's teachers and head teachers that have this conversation in their own class and their own schools, talking about what is the purpose of why we're doing these things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people sometimes forget, or a new member of staff comes along and they think they've got to tweet hundreds and hundreds of tweets a week, and that's not the case. It's about thinking what is actually going to have the maximum impact. And there are some times when you want to share lots because there's so many exciting things going on and just want to share lots of examples of them. But if someone is pressed for time, and all teachers are, then sharing the thing that's going to have the maximum impact for the whole of that class, of something that you've just done in your class, that you know that you're not going to have to explain 3 months later to a group of parents thinking, well, if only I'd said that at that time, that would have made all the difference. So there is getting the balance right, and you know the worry that some teachers had in the past that social media tools, I mean, Twitter happens to be a particular social media tool that Falkirk schools have latched onto and use extremely well, I think, and lots of other people think that the schools are using it well. The parents seem to think that they're using it well as well. But the worry was initially when social media tools started to be used by schools was that worry about having to respond and not having the time to respond. So therefore, Twitter did give a security that Facebook, for instance, didn't seem to appear to have, because schools were really worried that they couldn't keep up with the responses of people saying things on Facebook. Hmm. Whereas Twitter, it doesn't appear in the timeline of Twitter. Therefore, the school broadcasting may well have responses, but the people following won't see these responses, unlike being in Facebook. Hmm. So it is one of these things that there's a concern of workload, that if you were doing something previously in newsletters, for instance, if you were having to send out letters in bags at the end of a day quite frequently and printing out and all the time that it would take to make that, well, surely a quick tweet is actually much more effective. It gets straight into the pocket or the purse or the bag or the home by way of whatever device the parent can access. And even those that don't have a Twitter account, it's embedded on the school website. So it's quite important to me that schools recognise why they're doing it and are using it for the purpose of when they've decided what's appropriate for them as a school, and that they embed it so it's public, so that it's not excluding people that don't want to have a Twitter account for whatever reason. So therefore it allows for that. We have quite a number of schools incidentally that also use Facebook, so that has become something, but it wouldn't have come, I suspect, unless they had become comfortable with using Twitter, seeing the impact that it was having with parents and their children, and then being able to add on to that. And of course, you'll know this, but some people sometimes don't know this, that you can auto-post from, say, Twitter to Facebook. So you can keep both tools running with the same amount of work from the point of view of the teacher or the head teacher, and the impact then will be directly to those that will use one or the other tool as a parent or carer.
Yeah, I mean, joining tubes to make less work always seems like a good idea. But have you seen any other uses of Twitter? Do any of your schools get into conversations with each other, for instance, around some learning or anything like that?
Well, there's a couple of instances that there's Larbert High School, for instance, and Cairnshore Primary School, two of the Falkirk schools, that have used Twitter in quite a creative way, I think, in having a hashtag specifically to support a particular activity. Now, other schools do it too, but the ones that, because my thing is digital learning, then these two schools have used it for a week within their school where they have a hashtag specifically about digital learning and how digital learning is being used in their school and their school community, to then both encourage and support and celebrate the different uses of digital technologies. And by doing that, it's highlighting to the whole school community the huge range of different uses of the digital tools. And I think that's quite a, well, I'm saying creative. It's definitely creative in the sense that not many other people are doing a similar thing. There are other people doing these things. But they've been consistent in doing it, and there's positive benefits, not only that people can see it, but colleagues can see different things that are going on they wouldn't necessarily get to see otherwise. And people might be tempted to think, oh, that was quite interesting. I'll just go and ask that person, or tweet them, or ask the person in the corridor, I'm interested in that. How did you get that to work? And they'll then go and try that thing out as well. I think that's quite useful. But also there are a couple of schools, Victoria Primary School comes to mind, where, again in Falkirk, where they've got VPS Home, they call it. That's their hashtag, VPS Home, where they're sharing and wanting parents to share the things that are learning to go along with the things that are working in school, so that the parents are part of that process and using Twitter in order to engage and link between the things that are happening in the classroom and the things that are happening at home, so the teachers are kept informed. There's a bigger picture of the things that are going on for the teacher, for the whole school community, and it seems a very powerful tool. And again, I know that they're not the only school doing that. I'm just picking up on one that's doing it. There are other things that go on there, but often it's wee video clips of whether it's the pupils reciting a particular song, or in the case of West Quarter Primary School, another Falkirk Primary School, where they have a fantastic YouTube channel, but they often will embed the videos from the YouTube channel to share particular learning. And one that has got massive, massive number of hits was one for teaching children CPR, primary one. It's a video that's definitely well worth having a wee Google at. Again, lots of other search engines available. But Google them and find West Quarter Primary School's CPR video of primary ones showing you how to do CPR. Quite amazing. Yeah. And that's the kind of thing that, unless you'd had a tool that was able to broadcast, whether it was YouTube or Twitter, where you've already got these followers, Twitter by far gives them the greatest means of sharing that with their wider audience in their own school community, but also worldwide. Lots of our schools are connecting with individuals, whether it's at the time of the Commonwealth Games, the Olympics, with authors, but they're using Twitter as their means of communicating and asking questions of particular people to do with something that's happening in the classroom there and then.
So will the schools initiate that contact with, say, an expert in their field, and, you know,
it's a mix sometimes. I mean, sometimes it's because a teacher or a class has seen something online that someone has done, and then that happens to connect with something they're doing, so they make that connection. But often, yes, they're making that connection first. So they're definitely making brilliant use, as far as I'm concerned, of the Twitter tool. And I don't know of another tool that our schools have that has that much impact to such a wide audience that they can have. And I know that other authorities sometimes look at Falkirk and think that how can they allow for this, this and this or whatever else to happen. But all of this is risk assessed. We have policies in place, as you would expect. There is that clear understanding at the centre from the legal side of things, from the head teachers. There's an understanding of how these tools are used and what is appropriate and how to avoid the risk to our young people. So you will occasionally see, for instance, whether it's the pictures of children that are holding up certificates, but you'll often see these certificates where their names are blanked out, for instance. Or you will see pictures where you think, that's funny, it's a smiley face, because a particular child is not allowed to have their picture in the image, but they're not removed from the picture, the whole group is still there, it's still clear what the activity is, and a very powerful messages that are sent out about all the different activities that are going on. And also very much about digital literacy, which, talking of which, just last week there, we used both Twitter, but also Skype in a fairly strong way. Six of our schools last week took part in the Safer Internet Day. I was this last week, wasn't it? It was 2 weeks ago. Anyway, it was recently.
No, I think it was last week.
It was last week. Yes. Yeah. Time flies when you're enjoying yourself. But you know, they took part by presenting via Skype, and Skype as part of Office 365, part of GLOW, along with Marie-Louise Curran from the Digital Institute in Digital Citizenship Institute, I should say, in America, all using that secure tool, with another 30 schools then watching and joining in, whole classes sitting watching and joining in the conversation in the text boxes, while these six classes were broadcasting and sharing what they had learned about different aspects of digital citizenship. And then they were also sharing these on Twitter. And I've shared a sway, for instance, which explains that process of how we got to what we did, how teachers can connect. And a lot of the feedback that we got from the teachers, from their kids that were taking part in it, which is all in the sway. And I think that just reminds me, of course, that one of the major tools that we have available to us throughout Scotland is GLOW. And these particular tools, the fact that Skype is there now, that we have, it took quite a while to get the different ports and things all configured, but again, having fantastic colleagues, and I have to mention by name Stuart Lenny, ICT Programme Manager in Falkirk Council. If it wasn't for him, so many things wouldn't have been discovered how we could get things to work. But plugs away, works with different colleagues, and get things to work that we know that we would struggle with unless we had the right people, the key people, with the desire to get things to work, whether it's from the technical side or the teaching side in the schools or at the centre.
Yeah, I think that idea of joined up work for this sort of work is really, really important. The software you've mentioned so far, Twitter and Skype, and it kind of links into something that I thought when you were talking earlier, when you were saying about the types of software you buy in Falkirk, and both those pieces of software are not designed for education.
No, that's right. Yeah. And when we were first buying software, then it was in the days really when we didn't really have internet connection even. Mm-hmm. When I was teaching one of the schools, my school had the very first website for a primary school in Falkirk. And that was a huge leap forward in technology. Mm-hmm. And it's funny to think now.
Yeah.
What that step was. But you even have email. It's back in the government of Tony Blair, where every school was provided with an AOL single dial-up access for the internet, so that you could basically get an email account for a school. Mm. And having the website, as we did, being the first one in Falkirk, we were getting suddenly emails from Italy, from France, from people moving to Scotland and thinking, well, this is the only school that exists almost in Scotland.
Can I come to your school, please?
You've
got a website.
Yes, that was exactly it, because they couldn't find anything else so easily. I mean, there were other schools.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting I was the first in Scotland, but certainly it was the first in Falkirk. That seems such a small amount of time ago to suddenly be here, just a short time mm-hmm. later, where we've got all these range of tools now. Yes, tools that you're talking about that aren't designed specifically for education, but they're being used by education in a fantastic way, as far as I can see. But there are very specific education tools, which we also use. And that's one of the things that part of my role is to have meetings and support sessions with all our... each school has an ICT coordinator. And these ICT coordinators come out 3 times a year at different times to suit them. We run the session over and over and over, so that we can have some that are after school, some that are during the morning, on different days, on 2 different weeks, so that every school gets the chance to be there. And we spend a very practical sessions, hands-on, looking at different tools, how they're used in different schools, giving the teachers that skill, that confidence to then be able to go and use it in their own schools. And whether it's education-specific tools or whether it's tools that everybody in the world uses, if we can find a way that makes it a better experience for schools and an easier experience, or changes the workload to make it easier, then we will use that route and that tool. If it costs no money, all the better. So we have lots of software from going back a number of years where we had to have software because you couldn't connect to the internet. It didn't have an internet connection. It was standalone devices. And then as the years went on, we've developed these pieces of software, new pieces of software have come out to replace them. We're now connected to the internet. We've now got network computers. All of that's a change over a decade. But the principle still behind it all was that as much as possible, we wanted tools that were sustainable, that could be used across a range of curricular areas for a range of different reasons, and that they would be aimed specifically at primary pupils in the primary school's case, but could be used by the teachers for a whole range of different purposes.
Mm. And I'm interested, in this way of, or a way, how do you choose software? And the thing you mentioned earlier about going for Twitter before Facebook, And the one that you picked out was the fact that the replies don't really get added in one place, I guess, is that they don't coalesce into place, which forces you to have to address them, makes Twitter more interesting. But that is not necessarily the way that normal people would look at a piece of software. That's quite a subtle way of looking at a piece of software. You're looking at the affordances of that particular software, and the ones that are not apparent, which is sort of becoming more interesting to me recently, because quite often the choices that you make for software, that then they have sort of hidden carry-ons that you don't know, if you know what I mean.
And I think that again is one of the roles that I see in my role, is that it is, if there's a piece of software that somebody in the authority, a school, a teacher, a head teacher, somebody has used, then another teacher might ask about it but are not sure, or they can see that there's a possible risk, they're not quite sure. So my role, I see, is to look through all of these things to see either what the risks are, and then to mitigate these risks, to ask other people, to see other colleagues, to look for tools that can change that tool that's perhaps got something about it. So Facebook, for instance, a perfect example of that is that it's a perfectly safe tool to use, but there are clearly risks associated with it. People can misuse everything in any tool, doesn't matter what the tool is, but it's how do you then make that as safe as you possibly can to minimise the workload for a head teacher or a teacher within a school, and have the settings and have that conversation. And all of these things are on my blog. So it explains why you would do particular things, why you wouldn't do other particular things, but again, always looking at the purpose. And if it's a benefit, what's the impact? So,
yeah, I mean, I'm trying to home in on the actual question, but I think you've answered it very well there. You know, this idea of filtering software and looking at the need and looking at any sort of outliers and things that you might not be apparent straight away are very
useful. One of the things you just mentioned there about filtering the software, and I know that you were referring in terms of not the filtering like the internet connection filtering, but the fact that one of the features about Falkirk, I think, is that we are quite liberal in what we have available to schools. And sometimes you only hear that from other authorities when they realise that our schools get access to things that they don't, and that we don't block things. But because of that, in order to get to that stage to make that work, there's a whole range of things that have to be done in the background. The legal position, the risk assessments, they're all done. And if something schools are saying that they really want a particular tool, then we've got to then have the documentation that will back up the use of that tool to make sure that it won't be used inappropriately, that the teachers won't come back and think, oh, I didn't think of that, that we have to have thought about it for that teacher, for that school, in order to support them in what they want to do. Well, other authorities, for good reason, may decide that they're just going to block it because it's simpler to do that sometimes, or there may be other reasons where they've taken a decision to try and block it. We will do as best we can to make something available, but put in place policies, guidance, as well as instructions to help and guide. And sometimes there are policies that have to be followed that if that wasn't followed, then that tool couldn't be used. Whether it's information having, for instance, it's a well-known thing that if children are going to be signed up to a tool that sits outside the EU, then there has to be certain policies in place. Some local authorities, some schools may decide that's not what we want to do, we're going to block that, we're not going to have that. We went through a whole process in order to make sure that we follow through on a whole range of things that you have to do in order to use these tools. If that tool has a purpose and schools identify that as having a positive purpose and an impact, then we have to find the means of making that so it's actually going to work.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should maybe mention that one of the things is that has a risk assessment, has a cost, and the cost is your time and your efforts and the authority spending time investigating things, and I guess maybe that's what puts other authorities off. In some cases, it's easier to block. Early on this evening, Malcolm, you mentioned this, that you know, you've been watching ICT and digital technology in schools for a long time, and I'm sure one of the things I kind of feel is that you get a bit of repetition. You know, the things come and go, and cycles come and go, but maybe changing all the time. But quite often, if you think, yeah, I was very proud of that, and that's the first time that's been done, and then you talk to somebody else who did it 10 years ago, it's always quite interesting. But having that perspective, can you think maybe of the sort of important points? I mean, you've mentioned arrival of internet.
I can think of one particularly, what I think is quite funny, because the thing that's very much in the schools are being persuaded that there's such a digital lack, computing skills, coding skills, that in order to get enough people trained up, interested, we've got to get them really early on in a primary school, nursery school, primary school, in order to be interested enough to then take computing at secondary school, in order to then go on to a degree. Now, that's seen as being a fairly new thing. And yet, when I started teaching in the 1980s, and we first had our computers in the 1980s, almost the entire staff in the primary school that I were in, we decided that, oh, well, in order to use these computers, we'd better go for programming courses. Mm-hmm. So we all took night classes in programming. We all went together to do a 10-week block of programming, which seems really funny back then because we really didn't know why we were going to use the computers. That was the start of thinking, is this what we're going to have to teach children? Now, as it turned out at that time, that wasn't really how it then developed. There were Anita Straker, as a name from back then, who created resources for schools, for primary schools particularly, in maths. And it was fantastic resources that she produced, where it was very much about the computer being used to the best advantage in the context of something that was of, whether it was a maths or whether it was a literature study or whether it was music or whether it was geography, whatever it was. But then that pushed the focus towards the digital tool was there in order to engage, in order to enhance, in order to extend the learning that was going on in the classroom already. Whereas that programming part seemed almost like, where on earth had we gone at that point? Because we'd gone off and done this programming course to only then find that, no, that really wasn't the direction of travel at that point. But here we are again, round the circle, where it is the thing. And maybe it was the thing we should have been doing back then in order not to be in the position now where we don't have sufficient people now thinking of going into computing courses at university.
I guess maybe it's coming, it's sort of increasingly large waves though, because it just started off, I'm thinking, you know, BBC's people did a bit of programming, and then Logo and Roma Robots people did a wee bit, and then now we're getting this international, supported by politicians of all stripes, push towards programming or coding or whatever. So, and then down south, primary schools seem to have given up teaching ICT to some extent and teach coding instead.
I think there is this dilemma, and we've had this in our schools in the past in Falkirk, where there's what people define as being ICT or computing, and sometimes the blurring of what was which. Mm-hmm. And when computers were first getting into schools in a big way, not just for those that were ahead of the game or on pilot projects or whatever, but when they became in schools in a big way, it wasn't really very clear, particularly in secondary schools where somebody had to have the responsibility, because it wasn't like a primary school where everybody had responsibility for everything. Mm-hmm. Then in a secondary school, whose responsibility would it be in order to show and help children use particular programs? And as often as not, it would be the computing or the business studies or whoever. But they would have a particular role. And then it became blurred as to if it was computing. Mm. And computing then could often find their computing time squeezed out when really it was digital literacy and not actually computing. So therefore people then perhaps perceived that computing was no longer the thing for a career in computing, because it was using PowerPoint, it was using Word, it was using Excel, which wasn't really anything to do with computing in the sense of a computing studies or a computing science degree.
Yeah, maybe we're swinging back and forward. Has there been a few tweets around about various things? Some people got nice music and headphones, emojis in them as well, which is always nice to see. I must learn to do that. But there's a wee question from Ian Guest, who you probably know, and he's asking about, have you thought about, I was talking about risk assessment, the implications of leaving the EU on safe harbour. So,
yeah, well, of course, safe harbour changed its name as well, became a new policy in America as well. So, well, there's hardly anything you can really do because we don't know anything at the moment, and that's a major problem of not really knowing what the direction is going to be and what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. So that will definitely be something that will be coming up, but not yet.
So we don't know how much impact and how much easier or harder it will be to to do some risk assessment. I'm realising that we've been on this hot call for quite a long time, Malcolm, after I said it, just about half an hour.
to go as long as you like.
It's a good trick. But one of the things that's come on to the Scottish, and again, this is a bigger wave, but you've been very much involved in that, is the sort of upswelling or rebooting of GLOW. And I wondered if you get much to say about that, because you've been doing a lot of blog posts supporting people with the tools.
It's a frustration and also a pleasure in equal measure, where you see schools that are using the tools and are using them extremely well, but then historically, of course, you and I know, and many teachers around the country know, that GLOW was ahead of its game. But it wasn't really given a very fair start because, as I mentioned earlier, the schools didn't necessarily have the computers. They weren't networked. They didn't have broadband access. They didn't have Wi-Fi. Pupils didn't have the devices in anything like the number that they do now. So the idea of having each individual having a unique own space with one unique login and password that would allow them to get in, to get a whole range of tools, access to a whole range of services, well, that was fine. But it was 10 years too early. So it's so ahead of the game, worldwide recognition, but actually locally here in Scotland, it was a problem because the classroom didn't have the devices. It had maybe one device if they were lucky. And that couldn't be used for the way that it was then intended until such time as you had the devices. In order to get the devices, you had to have Wi-Fi. In order to have the Wi-Fi, you needed to have a good broadband connection. In order to get all of these things in place to have children using it, you had to have acceptable use policies, you had to have guidelines, you had to have a whole range of things, but you also had to have staff that were comfortable and confident in the use of these tools in a completely different way to the way that they had been when previously they'd got used to having one device in their classroom where they were in control of it. And then suddenly, when there was an expectation that pupils were going to be accessing this at home, well, people didn't have the access at home either, and anything like the number that they have, and so it's transformed in the time that I've been involved in GLOW, which is all of the time that GLOW's been on the go, I've been involved. Falkirk was quite late into accepting into GLOW because we felt that it was going to be a disaster for our schools if we came in too early. So we weren't in the first phase or the second phase because we didn't have the infrastructure in place at that point. And there was a huge investment by Falkirk Council in order to get the infrastructure in place. That took a long time to get in place. It was a huge amount of money. I think it was very well spent, but it did take a lot of using the experiences of other authorities, what had happened elsewhere, and their words of wisdom to us, saying if we were doing it again, we wouldn't have done it this way, or we'd have done it this way instead. So we got all that information from them. We're very grateful to other authorities and other people who were the forerunners in getting it. We came in quite late, just at the point, in fact, where GLOW was about to transform, and therefore there was a hiatus as people were waiting for the new. And the new, of course, has been just quite amazing. So many teachers now that are starting new, and they're seeing the new tool, and they can't really understand what all the people that are moaning about GLOW was, because when they're looking at it, they're like, this is great! Office 365, Skype, Word Online, PowerPoint Online, Sway, Forms, all these things. You think, why are they moaning about this? Now, it's historical moaning because everyone knew what it was like, and we don't like to have our fingers burned twice. We know what it was like. We didn't want to have that happening again, and people just weren't willing to invest the time and a huge amount of time that was invested by a lot of teachers in Falkirk and around the country in order to get to grips with the old glow. The new one is just nothing like it. Yammer is one of the things that's, I mean, it's only been on the go since last Easter inside Glow, and it's just amazing how that has grown and grown. And John Sexton, you know, and I know that lots of people around the country will know, that he is one of the national administrators inside Yammer, does a fantastic job of just getting the balance right of helping and supporting, but making sure that people are safe within that environment. But he mentioned last week that basically Yammer has been said by a few people is what Glow people expected to have been like when it first came in. They all wanted a tool that was like Facebook. Well, Facebook didn't exist when Glow first started, but they wanted a tool that essentially ended up to be what Facebook was, that they could have conversations, they could share resources, they could tie it down to their class, they could go across an entire authority, or they could share something right across the country. That's what they wanted the old Glow to be like. And it wasn't quite in the delivery as easy. It did all the job, but it certainly wasn't easy to use, whereas Yammer absolutely is. And with, I was told this week there were 30,000 users now in it in that space of these few months. And basically now the speed of it is ramping up and ramping up. So there's now 1,000 new users a week just about coming on, mostly pupils and lots of staff coming on. And they're finding their way with a new environment. For some people that have never used Facebook before, it's a new tool, a new environment, and everyone is on an equal footing. And it's quite an interesting mix with huge numbers of different uses that people are using it for. There's a bit of, you know, the chat and people saying hello, and here's the nice things, wee pictures, lovely things happening. And then as people start to find how they can be used to support learning, then we're seeing pockets of groups that are going there. And because it's now tied to mobile apps or online, then because it's in a mobile app particularly, people can respond really quickly. They can see when there's a new message. They don't have to log in as you would have done in the old Glow. You'd have had to log back in to the same group where you'd left a question in order to find out if anyone had answered it. Whereas now in Yammer, you're getting answers sometimes within minutes somewhere else in the country. So it can only get better, is what I keep thinking to myself positively.
Yeah. And I guess with new tools like, let's say, like Yammer, they're very open-ended. And we don't really know how they're going to develop and how they're going to work out and what people are going to use them for. Because they're so open-ended, there's opportunities for doing things that we haven't even thought about, I guess.
I mean, I think for me, the biggest thing about Yammer is that it's so easy to use, but also it's a perfect place to model, particularly for primary schools, a perfect place to model safe use of social media. Because for primary schools, they can't use social media tools in the main because they're all too young. Whereas this gives us the tool to use where teachers can support and model, and pupils can model for each other a way of being safe. Now, people will be silly. With 30,000 users in there, people are going to sometimes do something or say something that you think, oh, shouldn't have done that. But again, that's where these national moderators come in, and they do a fantastic job of just encouraging, supporting, reminding, saying this is open to all, please use it in appropriate ways. And I think the landscape is changing rapidly. And that particular tool is one of the, I think, one of the most exciting ones if we get it right. But there will be that kind of, it's fresh, it's new, and people are still having to explore and discover. But, I mean, other tools that, Sway, for instance, came into Glow, again, just a few months ago, and really exciting. And then the different ways that schools are using it is just quite amazing. Whether it's just a sort of newsletter, and again, just a much easier way of putting a newsletter together. But it's one link that they share with parents, whether it's a text now or whether it's on the website, embeds beautifully. But you can have layer after layer of photographs, you can have video, you can have audio, you can have whatever you like, basically, inside that Sway. And schools are just, I think I can hear the excitement from some of the pupils and the teachers who are starting to use it and thinking, oh, this is great. And that's what you want to hear. And I'm sure that we will win lots of hearts and minds back to the use of Glow, so that the tools that are there can be used for learning and supporting everything that's going on in the classroom. It's just getting that balance of having the common platform, which is Glow, to then allow device use of whatever kind in our schools or at home, to then be able to share, to upload, to move things around, to work on together collaboratively, Word online, PowerPoint online, the fact that you can have the whole class or entire year group or lots of schools all working on the same document at the same time. And I still, every time I have a group of staff, never mind the kids, a group of staff together for the very first time using Word online, and they see the little flags of the different users popping up, and there's always a squeal of excitement. Oh, look! Because even though I've told them this is going to happen, they still do it.
Yeah.
And it's fun. But it's a serious fun, if you like, because they're having fun, but they're actually doing something very serious and collaborating on something, which all teachers are doing with their colleagues, but the pupils can now do exactly the same thing. And they've got a mechanism now, they've got tools now that are second to none. And it's all with that one username and password. And that's just a fraction of the tools in GLOW. So, yes, I may be excited by it because I'm seeing that excitement now in a range of pupils and staff in different schools. One school I have to highlight, by the way, I've mentioned a few other Falkirk schools, but St Mungo's High School in Falkirk got the status, I was awarded the status of Microsoft Showcase School just end of last year. And it's because of their journey, just like so many other schools, the journey of how they came to get to where they are now in a very short space of time. And that took a whole range of things to be right and in place. It's not enough just to have the bandwidth. It's not enough to have Wi-Fi. You need to have leadership. And they had the leadership. Lots of schools have good leadership, but they also got to have these other things. They've got to have the key staff, the staff who can encourage and support, advocate, champion the use of the different tools and are there to support each other. You've got to have pupils. One of the biggest things that I'm seeing growing is pupil digital leaders. And we have now a majority of our schools in Falkirk have pupil digital leaders. And these pupils are growing in their confidence and skills by showing others. I know as a teacher, you'll know as a teacher, and I'm sure lots of people listening to this, they know that when they learn something for the first time, in order to teach someone else, they grew and they learned something, as I do, that I learn something new because I'm having to teach somebody, that I learn it far deeper and get more excited by it, perhaps, because I'm having to teach someone else about it. And it's the same for digital leaders. If they're learning something in order to share with their peers, or sometimes with teachers, then they will learn it and become excited by it. And that then has an infection and spreads out infectious laughter sometimes, but certainly an enthusiasm within their schools.
Brilliant. Malcolm, as I said a wee while ago, that time's getting on. There are several topics I would really like to talk to you about, and I'm going to suggest that we reconvene at some point in the future, because I think we didn't touch on the BYOD stuff that you're doing in Falkirk, which seems interesting. The Microsoft Innovative Expert stuff that you do, and a whole range of other things. So I think we probably should wrap it up and leave those for another time, perhaps. Would you?
That's perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. And it's been a great joy to speak to you and all these folk out there listening. We're probably going to have a cup of tea, which is where I'll be going straight after this.
No,
but
still,
thank you very much.
We're still getting the wee tweets coming in. So just as you said, they're off for a cup of tea, a tweet came in. So they're still out there listening, I think. I'll just maybe mention, because you're in Falkirk, in March.
Yes, Wednesday the 15th of March, we're having the Falkirk Digital Teach Meet. Are you coming to that, John?
I haven't signed up for it, but I think I could probably just about make
that
it.
That would be good. That would be good. Nice, I think it's still a month away, but we've got a good number of people that have already agreed to present. I haven't even got my name on there, but I'm going to be there and presenting as well. I haven't decided what I'm presenting about yet. But we have Kyle Armstrong coming all the way from Ontario. He's going to be presenting at that too. So if anyone else fancies to come along then, it's in Victoria Primary School, which I've already mentioned, Victoria Primary School in Falkirk. And it's 4:30, I think it will start. There'll be refreshments from 4 o'clock. Delighted to see anyone that's nearby to come along.
Brilliant. We'll put a wee link to that in the show notes, and I should have this up in the next day or two, with a link to Malcolm's blog and any other links he cares to ping my way. But before I get it there, the last tweet, which I've just lost. Yeah, it says it's sort of somebody's loving to hear the excitement and enthusiasm over the potential, and they've said at GlowScope, I think it's that the potential, the whole digital thing that you've got, the excitement and enthusiasm for, Malcolm. And what is amazing is, because you do meet the odd cynical person in this line of work, that you've been there since
the start. Many of these cynical people. Yeah. I have been one of these cynical people. I'm sure I still am.
Yeah, but it just is fantastic to hear that sort of enthusiasm for digital. Another thing I'd like to talk about is the way that things are rolled out in Falkirk, which always seems from afar at least well planned and organised, like the way you approach YouTube and other things like that. But I think we are really pushing the time a wee bit, so we'll maybe leave those for another time. Would that be okay with you?
That would be perfectly fine, and thank you for inviting me on to Edge Talk.
That's great. Okay, folks, I'm just going to hang up the broadcast now, so we'll say goodnight. Cheers.